I haven't prepared anything, but I've had an interest in the treaty process, which is where the Royal Proclamation finds its beginning for some years now. There's two basic positions, as far as I know. One, I'm on one side, more or less backing the Indian Act. The way I look at it, and older people like myself who have grown up as Indians, Canadian Indians, is that all Indians in the country are one people, and that there is, we're all colonized together under the Indian Act. We have a right to self-determination, and how this will be realized in history, nobody knows. It's up to the people, but this could include sovereignty or secession under certain circumstances. We are against the treaty process because the treaty process from 1969, actually, although it was 1973 that they passed the Comprehensive Land Claim Settlement Policy, and this policy, which strictly circumscribes the treaty process, prescripts the treaty process, has two points. One is that the First Nations are banned. The government has decreed or whatever. the band is removed from the jurisdiction of the Indian Act, and secondly, acquires some type of what they call self-governance. But a lot of people look at this, similar to myself, as not a beneficial thing, because the Indian Act, if you're not an Indian after you sign this treaty process, then your nationality has been taken away from you. And this is against international law. And secondly, if we are colonized and if we have a right to self-determination, becoming a part of Canada is not self-determination. Like Tawasin has become a part of the GDRD. And these things, like the whole treaty process, is strictly, very strictly circumscribed. So you can fight about money and about land, but about the basic objectives of the treaty process, it's not negotiable. You see, in terms of this thinking, like I said, Indians are a people. But the treaty, like the brother says here, Gord, the Royal Proclamation is the basis of treaty making under British law, and still obtains in law. And my position on that would be that's legalism. You're dealing with laws, this is a very contentious point amongst Indians. Because although tribal nations did exist, Gordon was talking about them, these are real bona fide nations with economies, with military, with government, with customs and traditions and so on. They are nations. But as Gord also talked about too, Indian people were decimated. In here, like for instance, the Stolo, they say that in 6 weeks, 3/4 or 2/3 of Indian people died. And some places they say it's 90%. So what happens when, and this year also, I think Gord mentioned too, was biological warfare. They purposely spread diseases amongst native people, and diseases are very easily spread amongst poor people, and they were destroying the economy. They hired people, for instance, in the prairies to kill tens of thousands of buffalo a day. Why? Because the prairie people depended on those buffalo. And so when they killed the buffalo, they more or less killed the people. And if the people are hungry, they're going to be more susceptible to disease. And this was happening with the fur trade too, because this is a reorientation of native economy. And so it leads to situations wherein people are hungry because they don't have their old economy. And they're dependent on furs and the furs die out. Like look at the otter on the coast here. They went extinct pretty well. So the contentious point about this Indian position is that these decimated tribal nations are no longer nations. Like if you're talking about real existing things, actual things, and if you have real nationalism and a real chance of becoming independent and of having sovereignty, well, you're talking about something real. And I think Indian people altogether are a real national entity. And it's kind of strange to think that, well, here's a country and it's separated throughout this imperialist Canada. But then again, internal colonization is very strange too. Most of the people in the world, the whole of the rest of the world outside of Europe, was colonized and still remains colonized, neo-colonized, by imperialism. Now that is classical, orthodox colonialism. And we have a very special case. And anyway, that's the two views that are contending, as you know, in BC particularly, where there are not many treaties. The population is about split evenly on this, I think. And as I said, in 1973, when they passed this comprehensive land claim settlement policy, it's a national treaty process. The first people to make treaties were in 1975, the James Bay, and then the Northern Cree, and then the Inuit in the north. So far today, although I haven't seen updated stats on this, almost one half of Canada's land area has been treated. That is the whole of the north, including northern Quebec. And a lot of people, a lot of bands in the south have signed treaties like Tsawwassen, Nishkaq, or are in the process. They have a very, you probably know, a strictly regimented process of 6 steps. And within these steps, there are steps. And there are many, many, many bands and even tribes on this treaty process right now. I read stats from like 6 years ago, and it was 16, I think, tribes besides the North that are now in the treaty process. So it's probably like 50 or more. And I think it's just genocidal, because Canada has always had an Indian problem because it's our land. And how are they dealing with this Indian problem? By doing away with Indians, legally. This is what the treaty process established. And that is like a Nazi solution. That's plain fascism. And that's how I look at it as an Indian. Other people, as you know, look at it differently. Thank you.